Let's open our Bibles again to John chapter 3. The title of the message this morning is The Necessity of the New Birth. This is a very important message for the day in which we live. Sadly, our world today is filled with people who call themselves born-again Christians. I'm born-again, a born-again actor, a born-again athlete, a born-again, you know, whatever. Yet they know nothing of Christ. And they actually hate the Christ that is declared in the Scriptures if they hear Him. So they obviously don't know anything about the new birth. It's like Nicodemus couldn't understand the new birth. Then we have those who are on the other extreme. If, you know, if they're not born again Christians, then they just deny the new birth altogether. You know, they say there's no such thing as a new birth. That salvation is just, you decide to be saved or whatever, you know. Well, I have a very important message for us this morning. I want us to be taught from God's Word what the new birth really is, so that we're protected from both of these extremes. I want us to see what does God's Word say about these matters. I want to be very clear. I hope to be relatively brief, but I want us to see what does God's Word say. You know, there's a group of people who just do not like Brother Henry's commentaries on the Scriptures. They say, well, it's too simple. But man, so all he says is what God's Word already says. Well, to me, that's a great compliment. And that's exactly what I want to do this morning. I want to just say, what does God's Word say about the new birth? And based upon what our Savior says in verse 7, ye must be born again. This is an important message for everyone here. If you're here this morning, this is an important message for you. Listen to these words the Savior said. Ye must be born again. This is a personal message to you, each of you, each of us who are gathered here this morning. You must be born again. You must be born again. Without the new birth, you'll die in your sin and spend eternity in hell. You must be born again. You must be born again. Sinners are 100% passive in the new birth. You can't do anything to make yourself be born again. You must be born again. You must be born from above. Sinners are not born because they decide to be born, any more than a baby decides to be conceived in its mother's womb. That's foolish, isn't it? Same thing's true of the new birth. The new birth is an act of God done in you without any act of yours whatsoever. The new birth is not something you do. The new birth is something God does. God does for you and He does in you. You must be born again. And you must be born. There's got to be a new man born. There's got to be a new nature born from different seed than the first birth. There's got to be different from the first birth. And you must be born again. The new birth is a second birth. It's a new birth. It's the birth that's opposite of the first birth in every way. The first birth is flesh. The new birth is spiritual. The new birth is in sin. The second birth, the new birth, is in holiness. You must be born again. Now, I'll tell you how necessary the new birth is. The new birth is just as necessary as the Father electing you and Christ dying as your substitute on the cross. Just as necessary. You'll never enter heaven without the new birth. Just like you'd never enter heaven without the sacrifice of Christ for you and the Father choosing you. Salvation requires both a work done for you and a work done in you. Righteousness must be imputed to us legally. That's Christ's work for us as our representative. And righteousness must be imparted. Righteousness must be put in us personally. And that's done in the new birth. Now, Nicodemus could not understand what our Lord meant by being born again. And you and I won't either, unless the Holy Spirit makes us to be born again. I'll do my best to explain what the new birth is from God's Word, but the only people who are going to understand is people who have been born again. That's only people who understand. And I want to talk to you this morning as clearly and simply as I can about the new birth. And I pray God will apply it to our hearts. So here's my first question. What is the new birth? Well, the new birth is a work that God does in you without any input from you at all. Just like our first birth. Our first birth was the result of what our parents did for us without any input from us. I never had any input about where I would be born or when I would be born. That's something my parents decided for me. The new birth is the exact same way. It's a work that God does for you. The new birth does not remove anything from your flesh. It doesn't remove sinful desires or tendencies from your flesh. It doesn't change anything about your flesh. The flesh will always be flesh. It will never be anything but sinful, corrupt, rotten flesh. The new birth is God imparting life into the believer. He said he puts a new life in the believer so that the believer lives with two natures in one body. You look over Romans chapter 8. We read that from Paul's experience of that in Romans 7 to open the service. Look here at Romans 8, verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body's dead. The body's still dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. That's the two natures in every believer, life and death, sin and righteousness that's in every believer. Well, all right, you tell me you're going to tell me what the scriptures say about the new birth. Let me tell you what the scriptures say the new birth is. First of all, the new birth is the birth of a new man, a new nature that never existed before. The new birth is the creation of a new man, a new nature that wasn't there before. Suddenly, there's a new nature. There's a second nature. You're a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Secondly, the new birth is to be a new creature, a new man. And the new birth is to be raised from the dead and given life in Christ. That's what baptism is a picture of, isn't it? We died, we're buried, and we're resurrected in Christ. That's what Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, and you hath he given life to, who were dead in trespasses and sins. The new birth is life from the dead. Thirdly, Scripture says the new birth is the giving of a new heart. The new birth is not fixing up your old heart. The new birth is the giving of a new heart. And you know, that's not only a New Testament teaching. This is not something that's brand new that should have surprised Nicodemus. This is taught in the Old Testament. Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews. Now, he's not a political ruler. He's a religious ruler. He's a Pharisee. The Old Testament scriptures were these men's life. But he didn't know it, did he? That's why our Lord says in verse 10, art thou a master of Israel and you don't know these things? Nicodemus, these things are taught in the Old Testament. Let me just show you one example. Ezekiel chapter 36. You know, David said, ask God, create in me a clean heart. Give me a new heart. In Ezekiel 36, verse 26. The new birth is the giving of a new heart. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. That's the giving of a new heart. That's the new birth. It's the giving of a new heart. Fourthly, look at Galatians chapter 2. The new birth is to have Christ dwell in your heart by faith. Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The new birth is to have Christ dwell in your heart. Paul told the Colossians, what's your hope of glory? Your hope of glory is Christ in you. And he told the Romans, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, if the Spirit of Christ does not dwell in you, you don't belong to him. You're none of his. The new birth is to have Christ dwell in your heart by faith. And then fifthly, the new birth is to be made partaker of the divine nature. To be made partaker of the nature of Christ. Now, Peter told us that all believers are made partakers of the divine nature. Now, what does that mean? You know, people say, oh, if you believe that, you think we're made little gods with all the power and being and character of God. No, nobody's saying that. Let me see if I can explain this to you. Partakers of the divine nature. In our first birth, can anyone deny you're made a partaker in Adam's nature? Can anybody deny that? In honesty, can you deny you're made a partaker of Adam's sinful nature? Of course you can't. Because all creation begats after its kind. A fish always begats a fish. A fish will never begat a giraffe, ever. Birds begat birds. A bird will never begat a fish. Cows begat cows, and humans begat humans. Now, when we say we're begotten just like our Father, we don't just receive the same kind of fleshly body as our Father. We receive our Father's nature, the nature of sin. That's how we receive Adam's sin nature. We're made partakers of his sin because our Father passed his sinful nature right on to us through his sinful seed. Well, the new birth does the same thing. In the new birth, we're made partakers of the nature of God, our new Father. When we're born again, we receive the nature of Christ. It's a new nature that's in us. The old nature is unchanged. We receive a new nature, a nature that cannot sin. See, in our first birth, we received a nature that can only sin. In the second birth, we receive a nature that cannot sin. And those two natures are going to fight as long as the body lives. Our first birth gave us union with Adam. Can anybody deny that? We have union. We're just like Adam through our first birth. Well, the second birth gives us union with Christ. Look at 1 John chapter 5. This is what the Scriptures teach us. 1 John 5, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. That new nature that's born of God sins not because it's born of the nature from the seed of God. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now the flesh will always be flesh, will always be nothing but sinful flesh. But the new man, he'll always be holy and righteous and perfect. Because he's born of God. That's what the new birth is. That's what God's Word says. All right, second. Why must I be born again? Why will I die in my sin and go to hell if I'm not born again? Well, several reasons. First of all, because we're dead flesh. The flesh is, like I said, it's not just this body. The flesh is a nature. It's a nature of sin, a nature of corruption that cannot be improved. You can never improve this flesh to make it any better than what it is. Look at verse 6 in our text. This is what the Lord says. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You can't expect anything else of it. It will always be flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Sin is not what we do. Sin is what we are. That's what our flesh is sin. That's why we've got to be born again. We've got to be given a new nature, a nature of righteousness and holiness, because we're dead in sins. Secondly, we must be born again because we're dead. And since we're dead, we don't have any understanding. We don't have any understanding of God. We don't have any understanding of Christ. We don't have any understanding of any spiritual truth whatsoever. Look at verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, truly, truly, Nicodemus, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now that word see our Lord uses there means know. It's the exact same word in verse 11 that's translated know. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know. That word know is the exact same word translated see in verse 3. That word see means to know. Now you children will understand this see. I use Sydney's example. Sydney's mom likes to help her with her math homework, doesn't she? And she'll explain a math problem to you. She'll show you how to do it. And she'll say, do you see? Now, she's not asking, Sydney, do you see the sound waves come out of my mouth? That's not what she's asking. She's asking, do you understand? Do you know? Do you know how to do this problem? That's what our Lord's saying. The flesh, the nature that we're born with, can't see. Cannot see Christ. Cannot know Christ. It can't. Our carnal mind is enmity against God. Our carnal mind hates God and is opposed to God. Not only does that carnal mind not know God, that carnal mind has no desire to know God. So if we're going to know God, somebody's got to give us a new mind. Somebody's got to give us a new nature that does know God. Now let me say this about this knowing. Salvation is not knowing some facts about Christ. Salvation is not learning some biblical truths. Salvation is not knowing the 5 points of Calvinism. No, it's not. You ought to know those things. We teach those things to our children and to our adults. But now, salvation is not knowledge. The knowledge that our Savior is speaking of here is knowledge that the old man can never have. It's knowledge that can only be given in the new birth. To the new man. The new man has that knowledge. He knows God. That's why we've got to be born again. Or we'll never know God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. See if this isn't what God's word says. We've got to be born again or we cannot know God. Verse 12. Now we have received, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. The only way we can ever know them is if God gives us a new nature, a spiritual nature. That's when we can know God. Thirdly, why must I be born again? Because we cannot enter the kingdom of God in this sinful flesh, in this sinful body. Look at verse 5 in our text of John 3. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, only the new man, born of God, who's holy and righteous, only that new man can enter into the kingdom of God. The new man will finally one day enter into God's presence when he leaves this body of sin in the grave. And that's when the new man will be set free to go be with God. But it's the new man, who can enter into God's presence. You know, if we could enter into heaven at this moment, just like we are, we wouldn't enjoy it because we're in a body of sin. Matter of fact, if we went to heaven like we are now, we'd turn it into hell because we're sinners. We've got to be changed. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, or covetous man who's an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Well, if no unclean person can enter into heaven, and I'm unclean, can you tell me how I can be made clean so I can enter? Yes, I can. By being washed. By being washed in the blood of Christ. The new man who's born of God is born clean. He's born holy. And that's the new man that will enter heaven. Fourthly, why must I be born again? Because by nature, we refuse to believe Christ. Now, our problem is not we can't understand. That's not our problem. Our problem is our refusal to believe. That's our problem. Look at verse 11 in our text. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we've seen, and you receive not our witness. The Lord didn't say you don't understand our witness. He said you won't receive it. You refuse to believe it. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, and we don't have any faith by nature. So if we are going to have faith, God's got to cause a new man to be born. A man who does believe God, who believes Christ and rests in Christ. Fifthly, why must I be born again? Because we're born in darkness, and we can't have light unless we're born again. Verse 2 in our text. The same, Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now Nicodemus came to the Lord by night because he didn't want anybody to see him talking to the Lord Jesus. He'd been ashamed and didn't want to endure the scandal of being seen talking to the Lord. But this means more than that. Nicodemus came to the Lord by night because Nicodemus was in spiritual darkness. Such darkness that he could not see. And that's the nature all of us are born with. Look back a page at John 1, verse 4. Two pages, maybe. John 1, verse 4. In him, in Christ, the Word of God, in him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Now he, John the Baptist, was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. The light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And the only way we'll ever see the light, the only way we'll ever be given this light of Christ, is in the new birth. It's to be given life. And if not, we'll forever be in darkness. We must be born again. All right, here's my third question. How? How was a sinner born again? Now, I want to be very clear. I'm not telling you how to be born again. People write books about that, how to be born again. If you ever see one, don't you buy it. Don't you read it. I promise you it's a lie. Anybody telling you what to do to be born again is lying to you. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves be born again. There's nothing we can do to twist God's arm and make him give us life. God, of his sovereign will, has to give us life, has to cause us to be born again. We cannot be born again by our decision. Brethren, we're dead. Do we get that we're dead, spiritually dead? Here's a man lying in a casket. Do you ask him where he wants to be buried? Do you ask him what kind of casket he wants to be buried in? Of course not. He can't make that decision. Why not? He's dead. You and I are spiritually dead. We can't make a spiritual decision. We can't decide to accept Jesus. We can't be born again by our will. We're dead. We can't will to do anything. Scripture says it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So how is it that God causes a sinner to be born again? Now, that question I can answer. How does God cause a sinner to be born again? Number one, he does it by the seed of the Word of God. Look at verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, the word water there is a picture. The water represents the Word of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that," here's why Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, "that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." See, that word, the water the Lord speaks of, is his word. That's the seed. This word that we preach is the seed that God uses to give spiritual life. Just like fleshly life begins with a fleshly seed, spiritual life begins with spiritual seed. And that seed's the Word of God. Look at James chapter 1. Returning to a lot of scripture, but I told you I want you to see what does God's Word say the new birth is. James 1, verse 18. "Of his own will begat he us with" what? "The word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." And one more scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1. God causes a sinner to be born again by the seed of the word. Verse 22, 1 Peter 1. "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you one love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." God causes sinners to be born again by the seed, the Word of God. Secondly, God causes sinners to be born by the sovereign will of God. James just told us, "Of his own will begat he us." It's God's sovereign will that causes sinners to be born again. And in verse 8, back in our text, the Lord says the exact same thing. "The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit." Now the wind cannot be controlled. People out in Oklahoma, I've seen some pictures of clouds and winds and stuff the past few days. I bet you they wish they could control the wind, but they can't do it. It cannot be done. You can't even influence the wind to blow somewhere else. It blows wherever it desires. Well, our Lord says the Holy Spirit is the same way. The Spirit is sovereign. He gives life where he will. The Holy Spirit is sovereign because the Holy Spirit is God. And the Holy Spirit can't be controlled, just like God can't be controlled. God can't be manipulated. He gives life where he will. And he does it through the preaching of Christ. Our Lord talked about us being born of water and the Spirit. We're born by the Spirit, blessing the Word of God. You can't tell where he comes from and where he goes, but suddenly he flows through. And there's life. The Spirit bloweth where he listeth. The new birth comes from the sovereign will of God. Thirdly, how does God give this new birth? By the Spirit revealing Christ crucified. Look at verse 14 in our text. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Everyone who's born again, they see, they understand, they know that the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is my death to sin. Christ died the death I deserve. And I live because he lives. I've raised a newness of life in him. Fourthly, how does God cause a sinner to be born again? By the Spirit giving faith in Christ. The Spirit giving us faith and enabling us to see Christ and believe Christ and rest in Him. You know, faith and spiritual life come at the exact same moment. You don't get faith first and then later on you get life. You're born again. No. Faith and life come at the exact same moment. 1 John chapter 4. First John 4, verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we've seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We believe that. We see that. We understand that. Now whosoever shall confess, this is the confession of my heart, that Jesus is the Son of God. God dwelleth in Him, and He in God. And we've known and we've believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. And God dwells in him. Note down chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. See, faith and life come at the exact same moment. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. And then verse 11. Now this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son, he that believes on the Son, he that hath union with the Son, hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's how God causes a sinner to be born again. And here's my fourth question. When is a sinner born again? Well, first of all, sinners born again when it pleases God. Isn't that what Paul told the Galatians? When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, when it pleased Him, He called me by His grace, revealed His Son to me and in me that I might preach Him. We're born when it pleases God. Second, we're born again at the very moment we believe Christ. This is what I just told you. Faith and the new birth, faith and life, come at the exact same moment. Now, faith, we know, is the gift of God. You'll receive it when God gives it, because it's a gift of God, right? You can't create faith in yourself, just like you couldn't create your own life in your mother's womb. Somebody else had to create that and give it to you. Faith and spiritual life come the exact same way. They come as the gift of God. And the evidence of spiritual life, just like the evidence of physical life is breathing and a heartbeat, the evidence of spiritual life is faith. Just like breathing is the evidence of physical life. Suppose you come across a man, you come around a corner, there lays a man just laying there on the ground. He's not moving. You wonder, is he dead? Is he alive? Well, how are you going to find out? Well, you bend down, you put your ear down. Do you feel or hear any breath, any breathing? You put your hand, do you feel a pulse? If you hear some breathing, there's life. If you feel a heartbeat, there's life. That's the evidence of physical life, isn't it? Someone might be wondering, well, have I been born again? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you believe on Christ? If you believe Christ, you've been born again. Because faith in Christ is the evidence of the new birth. If you believe that your only hope of the forgiveness of your sin is in the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice, you've been born again. That's the evidence of faith, is the evidence of spiritual life. Now, fifthly, lastly, how should I react to this truth? I must be born again. Preacher, you just told me. There's nothing I can do. You just told me there's nothing I can do to give myself spiritual life. Why are you asking me how I should react? You just told me there's nothing I can do to make God give me life. Why are you asking me how I should react? Just throw my hands up and just do nothing and wait for lightning to strike? Because you told me there's nothing I can do. Now hold your horses. I said there's nothing you can do to make God give you life. I said there's nothing you can do to create life in yourself. I never said there's nothing you can do. Haven't we read this from Scripture? God says, I'll show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Have you ever asked God to be merciful to you? Have you ever asked for it? God delights to show mercy to sinners. Have you ever said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Would you have mercy on me? Lord, if you will, you can have mercy on me. Have you ever asked God for mercy? You can do that. We just read, spiritual life is in the Word of God. Then we just read, did I show you that from God's Word? The seed God uses to give life is His Word. All right. Then how should you react to that? I believe I'd read it. If I want life, and this is the seed that God uses to give it, I believe I'll immerse myself in it. See if God might be pleased to give me life. I know a place in this town where the gospel's preached every Sunday and Wednesday. Preaching the Word. We go verse by verse through the Word. I believe if I wanted life, I'd be there to hear it. Because that's where the seed is. That's where the seed's being planted. If you want life, this is very simple. The gospel, like I said, not hard to understand. If you want life, be around where the seed's planted. It's springtime. Want me to tell you where tomato plants are going to grow this spring? Jan and I have this little plot we use as a garden. In our little old backyard, want me to tell you where tomato plants are going to grow? I can tell you exactly where tomato plants are going to grow in our yard. Where tomato seeds are planted. That's where they're going to grow. They're not going to grow over here. We've got a blackberry bush, and we've got some grass, or we've got some concrete. Tomato plants aren't going to grow there because no seeds are going to be planted there. They're going to grow over here where the seed was planted. Every week from this pulpit, whether it's me or one of these other men, we preach God's Word. We're sowing the seed and we're watering. Paul said, one sowed, another waters. Then if I was you and I wanted life, I'd be here where the seed's planted and where the seed's watered. It could be. Now, I don't know whether God will give you life or not. But I can tell you this, He's not going to do it apart from the preaching of His Word. If I wanted life, I'd make it my business to be here every time these doors are open because life is going to come from where the seed's planted. Then lastly, we read this. Y'all remember we just talked about this. That life comes, the new birth comes when God the Holy Spirit moves in power. Well, the Spirit only moves in power where Christ is preached. Then I believe I'd be here when Christ is preached. And I'd ask Him, Lord, would you give me life? You give it to whom you will. You blow where you will. You give life where you will. Would you be pleased to give me life? I'm dead. I don't have any. I don't have any way to get it. Would you give it to me? It may be the Spirit give you life. It may be. But I know this. He's not going to do it apart from the preaching of the Word, from the preaching of Christ. So I'd be there where Christ is preached. Could be. He'll be merciful. It's just like God will do it. Just like Him. All right, let's bow in prayer. Our Father, how we thank You for Your Word. How we thank You that You made Your Word so plain and clear and simple that children can understand it. Father, we pray You'd make us as little children. You make us come to You as little children. That we might receive all the salvation, the blessing of forgiveness of sin, life and righteousness and peace in our Lord Jesus Christ. While You said that You'd honor Your Word, how we pray that You'd honor Your Word, that You'd bless Your Word as it's been preached. It's been preached in such weakness and frailty of this instrument. But Father, would You bless Your Word to the hearts of Your people to give life, to give faith and comfort and strengthen Your people that we might know that life, eternal life is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Christ and Christ alone. Father, bless. For Your great name's sake, we pray that You bless, that You perform a great miracle of mercy and grace through the preaching of Your Word this morning. For it's the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and for the glory of His name, we pray.